Hi there, this is episode 403 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. And happy Thanksgiving to those of you in the United States. This is a good day to be thankful for God's blessing in your life. Of course, that's actually true for every moment of every day, no matter where you live, though, isn't it? Whether you're in the U.S. or China, the U.K. or Japan, South Africa or Russia, or anywhere else in between, God has richly blessed you with the gift of life and the wonderful gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have anything else beyond that, consider that icing on the cake. God loves you with His perfect love. He is madly in love with you, and His most passionate desire is to spend eternity with you. Happy Thanksgiving. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New. Every day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, we try to average about 10 minutes per show. Today, we'll conclude the reading of 1 Kings with chapter 22. Our translation this week is the Common English Bible. Let's begin. 1 Kings chapter 22. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and the Israelites. In the third year, Judah's king Jehoshaphat visited Israel's king. Israel's king said to his servants, "You know, don't you, that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, but we aren't doing anything to take it back from the king of Aram." He said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me into battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to Israel's king, "I am with you, and my troops and my horses are united with yours." "But," Jehoshaphat said to Israel's king, "first, let's see what the Lord has to say." So Israel's king gathered about 400 prophets, and he asked them, "Should I go to war with Ramoth-Gilead or not?" "Attack," the prophets answered. "The Lord will hand it over to the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Isn't there any other prophet of the Lord whom we could ask?" "There is one other man who could ask the Lord for us," Israel's king told Jehoshaphat, "but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, only bad. His name is Micaiah, Imla's son." "The king shouldn't speak like that," Jehoshaphat said. So Israel's king called an officer and ordered, "Bring Micaiah, Imla's son, right away." Now Israel's king and Judah's king Jehoshaphat were sitting on their thrones, dressed in their royal robes at the threshing floor beside the entrance to the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were prophesying in front of them. Zedekiah, Kenaanah's son, made iron horns for himself and said, "This is what the Lord says, with these horns you will gore the Arameans until there is nothing left of them." All the other prophets agreed, "Attack Ramoth-Gilead and win. The Lord will hand it over to the king." Meanwhile, the messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Listen, the prophets all agree that the king will succeed. You should say the same thing they say and prophesy success." But Micaiah answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say." When Micaiah arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we go to war with Ramoth-Gilead or not?" "Attack and win," Micaiah answered. "The Lord will hand it over to the king." But the king said, "How many times must I demand that you tell me the truth when you speak in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah replied, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And then the Lord said, 'They have no master. Let them return safely to their own homes.'" Then Israel's king said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you? He never prophesies anything good about me, only bad." Then Micaiah said, "Listen now to the Lord's word. I saw the Lord enthroned with all the heavenly forces stationed beside him, at his right hand and at his left. The Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab so that he attacks Ramoth-Gilead and dies there?'" There were many suggestions until one particular spirit approached the Lord and said, "I'll persuade him." "How?" the Lord asked. "I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets," he said. The Lord agreed, "You will succeed in persuading him. Go ahead." So now, since the Lord has placed a lying spirit in the mouths of every one of these prophets of yours, it is the Lord who has pronounced disaster against you. Zedekiah, Kenaanah's son, approached Micaiah and slapped him on the cheek. "Just how did the Lord's spirit leave me to speak to you?" he asked. Micaiah answered. You will find out on the day you try to hide in an inner room. Arrest him, ordered Israel's king, and turn him over to Ammon, the city official, and to Joash, the king's son. Tell them, the king says, put this man in prison and feed him minimum rations of bread and water until I return safely. If you ever return safely, Micaiah replied, then the Lord wasn't speaking through me. Then he added, pay attention, every last one of you. So Israel's king and Judah's king Jehoshaphat attacked Ramoth-Gilead. Israel's king said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself when we go into battle, but you should wear your royal attire. When Israel's king had disguised himself, they entered the battle. Meanwhile, Aram's king had commanded his 32 chariot officers, don't bother with anyone big or small. Fight only with Israel's king. As soon as the chariot officers saw Jehoshaphat, they assumed that he must be Israel's king, so they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat cried out for help. When the chariot officers realized that he wasn't Israel's king, they stopped chasing him. But someone randomly shot an arrow that struck Israel's king between the joints in his armor. Turn around and get me out of the battle, the king told his chariot driver. I've been hit. While the battle raged all that day, the king stood propped up in the chariot facing the Arameans. But that evening he died after his blood had poured from his wound into the chariot. When the sun set, a shout spread throughout the camp. Retreat to your towns, retreat to your land. Once the king had died, people came from Samaria and buried the king there. They cleaned the chariot at the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up the king's blood and the prostitutes bathed in it, just as the Lord had spoken. The rest of Ahab's deeds and all that he did, including the ivory palace he built and all the towns he constructed, aren't they written in the official records of Israel's kings? Ahab lay down with his ancestors. His son Ahaziah succeeded him as king. Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Israel's king Ahab. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah. She was Shilhai's daughter. Jehoshaphat walked in all the ways of his father Asa, not deviating from it. He did the right things in the Lord's eyes, with the exception that he didn't remove the shrines. The people continued to sacrifice and offer incense at them. Jehoshaphat made peace with Israel's king. The rest of Jehoshaphat's deeds, the great acts he did, and how he fought in battle, aren't they written in the official records of Judah's kings? Additionally, Jehoshaphat purged the land of the consecrated workers who remained from the days of Asa. Now Edom had no king, only a deputy was ruler. Jehoshaphat built Tarshish-styled ships to go to Ophir for gold, but the fleet didn't go because it was wrecked at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, Ahab's son, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my sailors go with your sailors on the ships." But Jehoshaphat didn't agree to this. Jehoshaphat died and was buried with his ancestors in his ancestor David's city. His son Jehoram succeeded him as king. In the 17th year of Judah's king Jehoshaphat, Ahaziah, Ahab's son, became king over Israel in Samaria. He ruled over Israel for 2 years. He did evil in the Lord's eyes. He walked in his father's ways and his mother's ways, that is, in the ways of Jeroboam, Nebat's son, who had caused Israel to sin. Ahaziah served Baal and worshipped him. He angered the Lord, Israel's God, by doing all the same things his father had done. May God bless the reading of his word. At the end of the last chapter, Ahab, king of Israel, had had Naboth killed so that he could have Naboth's land. However, once he was confronted with his sin, he repented. This repentant spirit is why we see that at the beginning of today's chapter, Israel has been at peace with Aram, whose king was Ben-Hadad, for 3 years. But now, Ahab brings to the attention of his people and the visiting king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, that Ramoth-Gilead remains under the rule of Ben-Hadad, when it should be a part of Israel. Jehoshaphat, unlike Ahab, loves the Lord, and he wisely suggests that they consult the Lord before going to war to liberate Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab brings in 400 of his prophets to ask them. The problem is, these prophets are not true prophets. they don't speak for God. And knowing that their king wanted to go to war with Aram, they told him that God would give him the victory. Jehoshaphat wanted to hear from a truly godly man, however, and asked if there wasn't another prophet of the Lord that they could ask. So Ahab called for Micaiah, a true prophet of God, even though he hated him, since Micaiah always brought bad news to him. And no wonder, since Ahab was not following God, the things God told Micaiah to tell Ahab would always be messages of judgment. Well, Micaiah had been told by Ahab's men to give a good report about the proposed battle, but of course he declared that he would only say what God told him to say. When he was before Ahab and Jehoshaphat and the other people, at first he gave a sarcastic okay to the battle. But Ahab knew that he wasn't being truthful, and he told Micaiah to be truthful with his prophecy. So then Micaiah told him that God said that they would be defeated. And then when we get to the end, we see that that is exactly what happened, and Ahab was killed in a most miraculous manner. Well, one of the things I gleaned from this episode in Israel's history is that Micaiah, God's messenger, was unwilling to say the popular thing. There were already 400 other prophets who told Ahab what he wanted to hear, and how hard would it be to stand up as the only one with a contrary message? In the world in which we live, it's becoming increasingly unpopular to carry the message of God. Just the use of the name Jesus is enough to bring disdain. However, we need to be like Micaiah and carry the word of God faithfully, because it is truth, and God's work will be accomplished despite the ideas of man. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 403.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @_SteveWeb_. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.